Hey, hi Meg. Okay, so welcome everybody. We are looking at Locke Kelly's The Way of Effortless Mindfulness, and I opened my book to see where we were, and I had left myself a nice little note that said, "Start with a glimpse." So let's do that. Like I said, I just opened the book to see that, so give me one second, and okay, I've got one to find it. So I will share my screen, and that's how we'll start here. Okay, a little bit of feedback would be good. Don, can you hear the music? Not really. It's just starting. That's good. Okay, and you can hear me over the music. No, not really. You can't hear me over the music. I'm still working this out, y'all. One of these days I'll be able to do it all by myself. Dawn's taking the typing. What is she gonna lower the music? Funny, it's almost okay, how's that? Because it's almost impossible to get it that low. It's like just over the mute. Good, right there. All right. Perfecto. Thank you. So here we go. So let's all take a deep breath. Let's do that one more time. Glimpse is titled Eyes of Awareness. And so, actually, we're going to start this with our eyes open. And with a soft gaze, simply see what is here in front of you. With a soft gaze, simply see what is here in front of you. Notice the awareness that is looking through your eyes. Notice the awareness that is looking through your eyes. Now close your eyes and notice the same awareness that was looking out is still here. Simply rest as this wordless awareness. Simply rest as this wordless awareness, which is now aware of itself. Thank you. without creating a thinker, be the awareness that welcomes and includes everything. Open your eyes. And I'll see about getting this music. It occurred to me I might be able to do something about how loud that was. Okay. I'll stop sharing. All right. And Don is the only one whose lovely face I see. hi, Don. Would you like to share, Don? Or anybody, of course, can share, even if I can't see your faces. But just, yeah. Hi Cheryl.
Your volume level was absolutely perfect. And those little birdies in the background felt like I was in nature. I was becoming extremely aware of my surroundings, but also what was going on in my body. And at one point, the way the wind was moving outside my window on the right side, the big tree was making a shadow, and I could literally feel the shadow or feel the movement. I was like, what's that? And it was a shadow. So I was becoming extremely aware of those surroundings. So.
That's awesome. Thank you, Don. Well, it's funny you say that was perfect because right before I just switched that music, I went, oh, because, you know, I listen through these speakers that are an add-on to the computer, and then I'm like, oh, I should turn down the computer volume. So when we do it again, who knows? We'll have to go through that whole thing again, I guess. Oh, well. Thanks for sharing your experience. Hey, Meg, did you want to share?
Hey, yeah, sure. you know, I was grateful. I was dropping into awareness because I have this like faint headache going on, right? So then I was like, oh, awesome. I get to become aware of my headache. And then in that, it was like, I was asking who was feeling pain. And even the awareness was able to draw me back from the experience of being in the body. So wow. That was my awareness experience, was just even that subtle, tiny little shift back is filled with a miraculous sensation, you know, an expansion, I guess you could say. So, yeah.
Beautiful. And let me say, in response to what you said, it reminds me of what happened this morning. This morning I went and got my hair cut. I do that once every 2 months. I was sitting in the... in her chair, in the hairdresser's chair, and there was some real light, something playing in the background. Usually it's, you know, alternative rock and roll, which I like, but this was just a real light, sweet song playing in the background. And I immediately was like, ah, you know, just relaxed into that. And of course, then she started talking. We had a nice chat. But for just that moment, you know, that it's that easy to drop into that awareness is just, it's priceless. It's miraculous, like you say. Just that slight step back. Yeah. Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yep. All right. So let's read some of what Locke has to say, shall we? We're gonna begin on page 41 if you're following along, and it's of course the way of effortless mindfulness. And Locke says, he starts with a study. Let me see. So maybe that I should just talk about. Yeah, last time we were talking about the two kinds of meditations. Actually, he talked about three of them. He says, so I'm just going to back up just so we can get our bearings. He says, it is now accepted in the field of mindfulness research to refer to calm abiding as focused attention and the insight meditation practice as open monitoring. Recently, a third type of mindfulness, non-dual awareness, has been included in the research studies. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't here last week, so it's taken me a second to catch up with how he's referring to these things. He also says non-dual meditation is different from the other two meditations in that it enables an atypical state of mind in which extrinsic and intrinsic experiences are increasingly synergistic rather than competing. Effortless mindfulness balances the activity of the default mode network and the task positive network so that we are equally aware of what we're doing and our internal state. Awake awareness is aware of what happens both inside and outside. And then again, finally, in regards to that meditation, the non-dual awareness meditation, or what he calls effortless mindfulness, he says, for me, it is the experience of being undistracted without effort, aware of what's going on inside and outside as a continuous, interconnected, seamless flow. So that's where we left off last time. This section is entitled Awakening is Restful and Creative. Locke says another important study done in 2018 by Poppy L.A. Schoenberg, Andrea Ruff, John Churchill, Daniel Brown, and Judson Brewer looked at the EEG signals of practitioners who were doing similar effortless mindfulness practices. The EEG distinguishes five main types of waves, each with its own frequency. The slowest wave is delta, which oscillates between 1 and 4 cycles per second and occurs primarily during deep sleep. The next slowest, theta, occurs during a drowsy state before sleep. Alpha waves indicate relaxation and occur when there is little thinking. Beta waves are the next fastest and accompany thinking or concentration. Gamma waves are the fastest brainwave and occur during moments in which separate brain regions are firing in harmony, such as moments of insight, creativity, or aha experiences. The most significant outcome of this study was that the frequency was in the high gamma range in all 29 subjects doing forms of effortless mindfulness. Wow. This study is also striking because, in contrast to using number of hours or years of practice, the primary eligibility requirement was that each subject had the ability to shift from everyday mind to awake awareness. This is important in showing that awakening training is possible in the midst of daily life rather than only for full-time yogis or those in monasteries. Whether we start with deliberate or effortless mindfulness, there is a way to become effortlessly mindful in our daily lives such that we feel connected, creative, and compassionate. In the next chapter, I'll teach the effortless mindfulness versions of well-known deliberate mindfulness practices. Okay, so this is chapter 3, page 43. It's called Awakening Glimpse by Glimpse. Locke says, my introduction to the immediate effects of effortless mindfulness in Nepal allowed me to see that I did not need to remain in the East, join a monastery, or practice in a cave to discover the well-being, clarity, and open-hearted awareness that were already within me. I returned to the United States to continue to train with eyes open in the midst of my day-to-day life. He says, I have no doubt as I look back now that it was the natural compassion of open-hearted awareness revealed by effortless mindfulness that propelled me to pursue a second master's degree in clinical social work. As I felt a deeper connection to everyone, I wanted to train for a life of service to those most in need. I also got sober, went to weekly psychotherapy, continued psychotherapist training, and got married to the love of my life, Paige. At this time, I was also asked to join the Teachers Council of the New York Insight Meditation Center, where I taught deliberate mindfulness practices. I continued to attend teachings and retreats to develop and deepen my practices and studies with a variety of non-dual and effortless mindfulness teachers. Right after graduate school, I went to work in New York City at the Brooklyn Mental Health Clinic. This was an outpatient community center that provided psychotherapy for people who had been psychiatrically hospitalized or were living in a halfway house and attending a psychiatric day treatment program. It was during breaks or when clients missed sessions that I began exploring and developing the mindful glimpses in this book that are versions of the ancient wisdom practices I learned during my travels. As I gazed out the window into the open sky from my 17th floor office, I began to explore my own mind to see how suffering was created and relieved. I noticed how identification with a thought, feeling, and parts of my personality collapsed my thinking into a narrow perception of both myself and others. So I want to read this again, that last sentence. Last two sentences, actually. My mind wandered, and it looks important. I began to explore my own mind to see how suffering was created and relieved. He says, I noticed how identification with a thought, feeling, and parts of my personality collapsed my thinking into a narrow perception of both myself and others. And of course, the first thing that's coming up for me in reading those couple of sentences is, you know, we just went over this last night in Gentle Healing Year One about how our thoughts, how believing our thoughts and identifying with them and our emotions, you know, how that causes suffering. We know that, but it's good to get this from all quarters telling us, you know, this is what's doing it, folks. You're causing your own suffering. You can relieve your own suffering. And then it's really interesting, again, to notice how he says it collapsed my thinking, this identification with a thought, feeling, and parts of my personality collapsed my thinking into a narrow perception of both myself and others. And boy, haven't we talked about that before? You know, you know, the scales on your eyes or the blinders that you put on when you're focused on your thinking. Again, we talked about this last night in Gentle Healing. You miss so much. So we talked about in this practice that we do in this training, the spiritual training that we've been doing, how it not only affects how we respond and we react to people and situations and our own thoughts, how we not only notice the difference in that from the practice that we've done, but that we notice that our universe seems to have expanded, you know, the universe of possible reactions and actions and thoughts expands as you let go of the old ones. You see the other options. And of course, Regina taught us that when in teaching the code, and how once you choose the highest vibrational thought you're capable of choosing, how then next time you have more options. There are more high vibration thoughts available. And so that's what I hear from him in this whole idea of what he says, and I'll just read that sentence one more time. He said, I noticed how identification with a thought, feeling, and parts of my personality collapsed my thinking into a narrow perception of both myself and others. He said, I practiced shifting my awareness Okay, Meg, you go right ahead and cook. He says, I practice shifting my awareness from a contracted small self to a new way of seeing and being, which was much more open-minded and open-hearted. And again, I just got to point out that parallels with the Gina Lake reading we did last night. We were reading from Gina Lake in chapter one of In the World, But Not of It. And she talked about that contraction and expansion and how you could feel that contraction in your body. And that was a pretty good sign you were identified with ego. And we talked about, you know, doing the opposite of what that contraction would tell you to do. And using that contraction expansion as a practice. And that's exactly what he talks about here. He says, I practice shifting my awareness from a contracted small self to a new way of seeing and being, which was more open-minded and open-hearted. He says, I also noticed how when I intentionally separated awareness from thinking, I could awaken to an already spacious and interconnected view that was free of a deep kind of suffering. And, you know, again, you know, and he talks about it in terms of unhooking elsewhere in this book, and particularly in his glimpse practices. But here he refers to it as intentionally separated awareness from thinking. And again, last night when we talked about this, we talked about how much traction you get on the spiritual path. And that's just a shorthand way of saying of saying that. But, you know, how far that will take you, this this ability to disidentify from your thoughts, to really get that I am not those thoughts, even though they seem to appear in my head, they really have nothing to do with me. I am not the thinker of those thoughts. And to be able to get that distance from those thoughts will just propel you leaps and bounds, because then you're really, once you unhook from those thoughts, then you're really able to go, okay, here I'm sitting unhooked. What's my alternative? Oh, I know. Right? Then you can really identify with the awareness that you are. He says, for example, if I was feeling upset, I would acknowledge my feelings and shift awareness out of the cloud of stormy emotions. And then, from this open mind and open heart, return to the emotions with a new view. Well, and of course, we just heard Regina talking about that, right? She just was telling us about this. You know, if you picture this is what she said, if you picture the space right here in front of me as peace, as what we are, right? And then this irritation or this fear about calling the bank comes up. But what's it appear in? It appears in this field of what we are, this field of space, this field of peace, of unaffectedness. And this is exactly what he's saying. He said, if I was feeling upset, I would acknowledge my feelings and shift awareness out of the cloud of stormy emotions. And then from this open mind and open heart, return to the emotions with a new view. This brought such relief and joy. It was like emerging from a dark tunnel to a beautiful view. Again, there's that idea of the blinders that we put on ourselves. It was like emerging from a dark tunnel to a beautiful view, except I was not only seeing the view, it was as if I were viewing from an open, quiet, loving intelligence that was connected to everything. And you know, and we've had that experience right here when we practice dropping from our heads to our hearts. You know, that's why we do these glimpses. We draw from our heads to our hearts, and then everything's softer. Everything feels interconnected. He says, how could this freedom be so close and yet so hidden from most people's day-to-day experience? And I guess that's what I was talking about in response to what Meg said. It that's what amazed me when I was sitting there in the hairdresser's chair. It's like, boom, you know, I was right there in that awareness, and only momentarily, because she started talking again. But it was so accessible. You know, I didn't have to light candles and burn incense and cross my legs. You know, I just, boom, just so accessible right there to drop into. And just really want to express gratitude now, and certainly felt gratitude then for the accessibility, you know? Anyway, and that's what he's saying. He's like, how could this freedom, and that's what it feels like, how could this freedom be so close and yet so hidden from most people's day-to-day experience? It's a crying shame. It's just like, you just want to run out in the streets and go, listen, everybody, guess what? Right? It's right here. Easy to get to. He says, how was it that despite all the progress humanity has made in other areas like medicine, communication, and technology, that shifting into awake awareness was not something that was recognized and taught to everyone? And he may tell us about this in a minute, certainly we are beginning to see in this culture a shift towards, you know, they teach mindfulness, meditation, and meditation in general. They're doing it in preschools. They're doing it in businesses. They're doing it in elementary school. So it is starting to be practiced in this culture. He says, I approach these explorations of the anatomy of awareness with curiosity and wonder. It was exciting to experiment and reverse engineer practices from the wisdom traditions I had studied in India, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. One of the approaches to awakening that I draw from, Sutra Mahamudra, originated in North India. It is a tradition that is like a bridge between the three main traditions of Buddhism, Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana, Tibetan. One reason I was drawn to it is that it focuses on practices for everyday people, not just monastics, to awaken in the midst of their daily life. One of my teachers, Dogen Panlop Rinpoche, wrote that Sutra Mahamudra is seen as a profound method because it does not require any of the sophisticated and complex tantric rituals, deity, yoga, visualization practices, or samayas, vows. Sutra Mahamudra has a tradition of skillful means that contains profound methods of directly pointing out the selfless and luminous nature of mind. I began to try to translate ancient practices I had learned from many teachers and texts into accessible, contemporary language and forms. I checked in with teachers such as Trailig Rinpoche to make sure the practices were staying true to the essence of the teachings as I translated them. I also began to notice that if I remained receptive, it was as if awake awareness started showing me the anatomy and principles of awakening. And you got to love that. I mean, and that's what we hear over and over and over again. It's you know, A Course in Miracles says the truth will teach you of itself, right? All you got to do is clear the altar. And this is what we've been seeing, you know. You just got to remove the focus, the fascination with the thoughts and with the character. So again, he says, it was as if awake awareness started showing me the anatomy of principles and awakening. I started calling these contemporary versions of ancient wisdom practices Brooklyn Mahamudra. I really like him. Isn't he sweet? Locke, he's so sweet. Okay, here we go. This next section is called Stepping Out of the Cloud of Your Mind. Get me a drink. He says, one way of describing the experience of glimpsing in effortless mindfulness practice is to use the metaphor of a cloud. You may have felt as if you have been living in a cloud. Maybe it feels like a storm cloud a lot of the time. See if you can feel the boundary and fogginess of this cloud you call me. He wants us to see if we can feel the boundary and fogginess of this cloud that you call me. He says, you may have been trying to feel better by cleaning up the cloud of your mind, by replacing negative thoughts with positive thoughts and developing good attitudes. You may have tried to calm your body and mind to make your brain as clear as possible. Within your cloud are storms, old traumas, emotional challenges, and relationships of all types. Each time you change these things and clean up one area of the cloud, it seems that another foggy issue or thunderous problem arises. He says, effortless mindfulness does not begin with dissolving the cloud, calming it, or trying to transform its contents. The glimpsing method of effortless mindfulness begins with awake awareness stepping out of the cloud, shifting, dropping, or opening, to discover that you are also the open sky of awake awareness. When you shift out of this cloud of the emotional or small mind and discover this spaciousness of still, quiet, alert awareness, it's a great relief. You can realize that you are the sky, and the cloudy emotions and thoughts are ever-changing weather. Locke says, awake awareness is not just contentless. Let me try it again. He says, awake awareness is not just contentless space, but is the actual source of intelligence and identity. Here, we experience ourselves not just as a separate big sky witness, but also as the awake awareness arising as thoughts, feelings, sensations, and part of us. You know, it's the source, right? I mean, I was talking to somebody about this the other day in an email, and I said it's, and you all have heard the analogy before, it's the hand in the glove, if you will, right? If you don't put your hand in your glove, it just lays there limp, doesn't move, doesn't change, doesn't go anywhere. But, you know, this awake awareness is the source of everything else. Without, you know, without the hand in the glove, you know, that is life. That's what animates everything, is our source. I believe Locke is saying the same thing. Again, he says, in awake awareness, we experience ourselves not just as a separate big sky witness, but also as the awake awareness arising as thoughts, feelings, sensations, and parts of us. As we reach the fullness of effortless mindfulness, we will discover open-hearted awareness and ways to naturally embrace and welcome all emotions and parts of ourselves. And of course, this is what we keep, I've been hearing for a long time, folks talking about this. Mary Reed talked to us about this a couple years ago in her satsang. Jeff Foster talks about this. So many teachers talk about, you know, how many of us for years, and certainly I've been there, done that, on the spiritual path go, ooh, I don't like that about me. Let me reject this or bury it. Or, I mean, even if I'm willing to look at it, I mean, even in, you know, as you go down the road, later stages, even if I'm willing to look at it, I'm still rejecting it. Ooh, look at that thing I just found in me. No. These teachers talk about embracing it. We cannot reject part of ourselves. We cannot reject part of humanity and appreciate the fullness, the allness, the oneness of all that is. The deep embrace, Don says. Yeah, that's from Jeff Foster. You've been reading that. Yeah. In your program called The Deep Embrace. Yeah, so this is the same idea. Let me read that sentence again. As we reach the fullness of effortless mindfulness, we will discover open-hearted awareness and ways to naturally embrace and welcome all emotions and parts of ourselves. It is from this way of being that our stormy parts, our dark moods, angry rumblings, or fearful shadows can truly begin to heal as they are loved back to health within this dimension of open-hearted awareness. After all, weather comes and goes, and no storm ever hurt the sky. Okay, and this next section is called Local Awareness. What is unique about the effortless mindfulness approach is the use of local awake awareness as the primary way of glimpsing and shifting levels of mind. By local, I mean awake awareness that is appearing in one specific area, such as your head, or connected from spacious awake awareness energy to any object. Local awake awareness, or simply local awareness, is able to know awake awareness because it is never separate from it. Local awake awareness provides a tool to navigate through your own consciousness. When awake awareness appears as the boundless ocean of awareness, I call it spacious awareness. When awake awareness appears within a particular location, I call it local awareness. Local awareness and spacious awareness are two aspects of the same awake awareness. He's going to tell us more about this. That's good. I have to wonder as I read it, because I don't recall reading it. I don't recall the details of reading it before. I have to wonder if this isn't when we practice awareness watching awareness. If he's not talking about local awareness watching spacious awareness, but I don't know. Yeah, so let's just read on and see. He says, in effortless mindfulness, it is important to learn how to separate local awareness from thinking. Local awareness is normally identified, attached, or hidden within the thinking mind, so we don't realize that they can be separate. Here, I will use the word unhook to describe the ability of local awareness to tune out of or disidentify from the thinking mind. Okay. He says, this important shift of local awareness can be reached in a variety of ways, such as with the inquiry practice in the Advaita Vedanta tradition of looking to the awareness within by asking, who am I? Or the Chinese text, the secret of the golden flowers technique of turning the light of awareness around, or the Zen traditions, taking the backward step. He says, in Tibetan Buddhism, recognition of awake awareness as the foundation of who we are is expressed as looking at your own face, emphasizing that when we recognize it, awake awareness is as intimate and familiar as our own face. Sweet. It also suggests, instead of looking outward from your face, that finding awake awareness requires turning around to notice where we're looking from. So I don't know if any of you heard anything different, but I think this is a pretty good description of awareness watching awareness. Dawn agrees. Thank you, Dawn. That's good. It's important. I want to make sure I'm not out in left field, right?
What I heard too is Course in Miracles, where it says, I will step back and let him lead the way.
Sweet.
So it's totally in alignment. And with our homework this week with the headless, that video, theheadless.org, how you can't see your own face, but that whole exercise we did in that, it reminded me of that as well.
Cool. Thank you. All right. I want to just take stock of where we are. Because I want to leave time for a glimpse at the end. So now I'm killing the time that I want to keep. But give me a second. Okay. Just want to be sure and find that. I got it. Here we go. We are getting ready to start a new section called Five Foundations of Effortless Mindfulness. Locke says, before I introduce some effortless mindfulness versions of common deliberate mindfulness practices, I'll share a more detailed map of effortless mindfulness. As a frame of reference, let's look at one of the main sets of practices of deliberate mindfulness, which is called the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. As the Buddhist scholar Andrew Olendzki has said, most practitioners of insight meditation are familiar with the Four Foundations of Mindfulness and know that the Satipatthana Sutta, the discourse on the foundations of mindfulness, is the cornerstone of the Vipassana insight meditation tradition. The four foundations of mindfulness are: 1, mindfulness of body and sensations. 2, mindfulness of feelings of pleasure or displeasure about the sensations. 3, mindfulness of mind, whether grasping or aversion is present or not. 4, mindfulness of mental phenomena, like thoughts, images, and other mind objects. So again, the four foundations of mindfulness: mindfulness of body and sensations, mindfulness of feelings of pleasure or displeasure, mindfulness of mind, looking for grasping or aversion, and mindfulness of mental phenomena, thoughts, images, and mind objects. The focus of these practices is on observing the contents of consciousness, the experiences of feelings, sensations, and mental objects that we can notice as they arise and pass away. Through deliberate mindfulness, we come to realize that these contents of consciousness are fleeting. They come and go, and there is no separate self to be found within. In teaching effortless mindfulness, I have found it helpful to create a similar format of practices I call the Five Foundations of Effortless Mindfulness. These are contemporary variations on practices from a variety of wisdom traditions, particularly the Sutra Mahamudra approach from the Indo-Tibetan tradition. Moving through these five foundations of effortless mindfulness allows us to untie the knots of limited perception, knowing, and identity. We shift from focusing on the contents to focus on the context of consciousness, awareness itself. Rather than focusing on the contents, we begin the five foundations of effortless mindfulness by opening to what or who is aware of these contents. So we're not focusing on the contents, but what or who's aware of the contents of consciousness. He says, we first shift to awake awareness as the foundation of a new level of mind. This allows us to become more energetically embodied and interconnected with everything as we move through the foundations. We continue to discover a new way of seeing and being from open-hearted awareness, to live a compassionate and creative life. Here are the five foundations of effortless mindfulness. 1, awareness of awake awareness. 2, awake awareness as aware of itself. 3, awareness from awake awareness energy. 4, awake awareness energy embodied. And 5, open-hearted awareness. Foundation 1, awareness of awake awareness. The first foundation of effortless mindfulness can be discovered by unhooking local awake awareness from thought and the thinker. The radical premise here is that we are already the awake awareness that we seek. Awake awareness is currently attached to or identified with the contents of consciousness. Now, that's not anything new, right? We think we are our thoughts and our feelings and our bodily sensations. And So he says that this way, awake awareness is currently attached to or identified with the contents of consciousness. Yet awake awareness is intelligent and the source of being, knowing, and even doing. So local awake awareness can detach or unhook from the small mind and small self and return home to non-local awake awareness-based knowing. Local awake awareness is to awake awareness as the air in a bubble is to the open air. Local awareness is interconnected with what it knows directly, so it replaces mental attention as a way to focus. Even though you might not intellectually understand the instructions or believe that you can do this, simply and curiously allow local awareness to unhook and know spacious, awake awareness. Another way to describe this first foundation of effortless mindfulness is local awake awareness is aware of spacious, awake awareness. Okay, and so actually I want to do that glimpse now. I think now's a good time to do it. So let me once again share. Okay, so this is a glimpse called Background Awareness. How are we doing, Dawn? Can I get a thumbs up or down? She says down. So let's take a deep breath while she tells me what's going on. She probably can't hear the music, but I don't know if that. Lower the music still? Wow. All right, let me try this. Is that better? It's good. Yes. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, I need to write in my little book here how we did that. So I will for next time. So this glimpse is called Background Awareness. And Locke asked us to do the following. Take one slow, deep breath. Let out a sigh. And Locke really wants us to sigh. He wants the sigh to be audible. Take one slow, deep breath. All right, so we're going to do that one more time. And then go to the rest of the glimpse. Take one slow, deep breath. Let out a sigh. Now, let your awareness open to discover the background awareness that is already effortlessly awake and aware without your help. Let your awareness open to discover the background awareness that is already effortlessly awake and aware without your help. Notice that you can effortlessly focus from this background awareness. So if your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to slowly open your eyes and do this noticing. Notice that you can effortlessly focus from this background awareness. Let me stop sharing. Does anybody have anything they want to say and comment on that effortless mindfulness glimpse? Okay. I'm going to read the last couple lines here in this section on awareness of awake awareness, Foundation One. He says, local awake awareness can detach or unhook from the small mind and small self and return home to non-local awake awareness-based knowing. Local awareness is interconnected with what it knows directly. So it replaces mental attention as a way to focus. Even though you might not intellectually understand the instructions or believe that you can do this, simply and curiously allow local awareness to unhook and know spacious, awake awareness. Another way to describe this first foundation of effortless mindfulness is local awake awareness is aware of spacious, awake awareness. Foundation two, awake awareness as aware of itself. The second foundation of effortless mindfulness is awake awareness becoming aware of itself, by itself, as itself. This movement requires going beyond all references to thinking, senses, doing, and all forms of energy to discover the contentless, timeless, empty, boundless source of knowing and being. This stage is the realization that awake awareness is always already awake by itself without any help or effort. It is the important shift to direct recognition of the new operating system, awake awareness, rather than stopping in the gap of not knowing or no self. I see that when I read this in preparation for the Satsang with Locke, I had this starred and highlighted and then a question mark by it. So I don't know if I actually asked him the question during the satsang to be more specific about this, but it seems to me, having worked with this just a little bit, that's actually what we just did when we talk about being aware from that space of awake awareness. This is what he's referring to. He said, it is the important shift to direct recognition of the new operating system, awake awareness, rather than stopping in the gap of not knowing or no self. He says, awake awareness, aware of itself, requires a letting go. And the way of perceiving this shift is subtle because it is a non-conceptual way of knowing, a not knowing that knows. This is the realization that awake awareness is the source of intelligence and the boundless ground of our essential identity. There's no need to stay in this pure awake awareness for lengthy periods of meditation, as the unhooking from small mind and opening to a vast source of mind usually takes from 3 seconds to 3 minutes, as you will see with the mindful glimpses in this book. We've heard that from Bentinho Massaro as well, right? He says, another way to describe the second foundation of effortless mindfulness is spacious awake awareness is aware as spacious awake awareness, which is already aware. So that takes us to the end of the program. We'll pick up here next week. No, we won't, because I won't be here. We'll pick up here soon, a couple of weeks, I guess. So, and we'll review these first two foundations. I'm sure we will feel the need to do so at that time. I love all of you, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you. Bye, Meg. See you next time.